I'd like to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for coming out on this beautiful day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Several announcements. I'm not going to make all these, not real heavily anyway. The Easter flowers, you can read about those. We'll be participating in One Great Hour of Sharing. You hear about more about that in next week or two. On Sunday, April 27th, after Easter, we'll have our second annual Lay Sunday. That means the members of the congregation will participate in the service. And you can talk to Arlie Cornelius. If you don't not sure who Arlie is, she's the one who just came up and spoke. The Deacon Spring Challenge, you can keep bringing items. And thanks to Tom for taking over the sign and putting the words up, and really appreciate that. And he did this before we found out Artis had resigned as secretary. So thank you, Tom, and then his helper, Mabe, with him. Artis gave her resignation a couple weeks ago, came down, talked to her Friday, said goodbye to her, and she said she'd be down some, and as we look for a secretary, she said she'd be willing to come in and help train one. But for the time being, we're looking for volunteers to come in the office. Sue Galley said she'd come down on some Tuesdays. Arlie Cornelius is going to be doing the bulletins right now, so got her phone number, internet address. If anyone needs to email her or call her to put something in the bulletin, then the Valley will be coming up soon. So we have to be thinking about that. So if you can give some time to the church office, but we're already looking for someone to fill that position, and Clara is head over that. So be in prayer for that also. BJ, we announced this last week. Spring Senior Adult Day, April the 9th. It'll be Bible study, games and activities, food, optional shopping trips, fellowship, crafts. This is at Camp Crestfield. They're going to leave the presbytery office at around 9:30. If they go on the bus, it's $45, but if provide own transportation, it's $30 to go. And I think you said you had somebody signed up to go with you. Clara's going to go.
I'm driving.
BJ, BJ's going to drive here from the parking lot, so definitely be cheaper. And if it's a couple of carloads going, that would be great. And it includes two meals, so there's some paper you can look at and sign this up or talk to BJ. So that's April the 9th. Got too many papers this morning. I had something else, but I'll wait for that for another time. Take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with your name, address, that type of information. If anything has changed, you can sign an I wish card and drop it in the offering plate. We would appreciate that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this morning is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We haven't sung this in a while. Good old standard. Number 26. Thank you. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your everlasting love. We praise you for calling us into a relationship with you. We believe Jesus is the Messiah. Forgive us who failed to drink from the wells of eternal life. Remind us that we should drink from your well on a daily basis. Teach us how to look beyond this world to the heavenly realm. May we have a desire to help others find Jesus as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again unite in our faith with our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, ask them. Thank you. responsive reading is 46 on 702. In back of your red hymnals, 702. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her every good day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought upon the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields of fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This time I'll call the elder on the door to bring forth the prayer requests.
Hello again. Diane is asking for prayers for Paul Kozierhoek, who was taken into St. Margaret's yesterday with issues in his heart. So please keep Paul in your prayers, and Diane as well. Also, continued prayers for Patty Hall. Keep her in your prayers this week as she goes to the doctors and hopes to find a solution to the suffering that she's been going through. And also, praise requests. We had some confidential prayer issues here in the church last week, and during this past week, God has answered those prayers, and so we praise him for that.
Go to the Lord with these prayers and remind you to peruse the back of your bulletin, and let's keep up with all these people. And Sandy has been moved to Highland Rehab, and Bev is doing very well with her hip surgery. And Isabel has been moved to a different room for rehab in St. Margaret's. And let's continue just to pray for everyone in the bulletin, the valley, and for yourselves, anyone that you might be thinking about right now, and for our church, finding a new secretary, someone to take over the luncheon, for new officers, for just everything that we're trying to do here at Glenshaw Valley to be a vibrant church in our community. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful, awesome God. You created the universe with all that is in it. We look in our telescopes and look through trying to figure it all out, and it goes for infinity. We don't know how far. That's how wonderful and mighty and great and good you are. And you are good because you provided salvation to us through Jesus Christ. And it's so simple for us to accept you, to believe that you have risen from the dead. And then we go about our lives, studying the Word of God, fellowshipping, worshiping, trying to reach out to others to tell them that you are Lord and Savior. But to do so, we have to be first connected with you, to receive your Spirit, to know who you are, to identify with you, to be in that relationship, to drink that living water that fills us up, and to drink it daily so that we don't go back to our old ways and our old life. And people will look at us and hear us and believe the message, the good news of the gospel, because they will see Jesus within us, our words, our actions, our lives, our behavior. No, we will never be perfect like Jesus, but we can keep striving to be better. Help us to do that. We pray for one another, all that are sick and hurting, whatever way that it might be. touch their lives. Let them feel your love and your grace, your compassion, and where we can be instruments of healing, call us to that task. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity, and thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is on the screen, Blessed Be the Lord Almighty, and I want to thank Cliff for bringing his computer in. Mine literally crashed yesterday, not in the way you think computers crashing, but it fell off my table. Only me. I had to take it to Apple Store, so I've got about a $300-something bill, and it'll be ready hopefully next weekend. So I didn't get to go back in and make sure everything was lined up just right, so I'm having to jump around a little bit this morning. So I emailed this to Cliff, and he got it in his computer and brought it in. But I've wised up a little bit at my old age. Right before it fell off the table, I had just saved everything.
What it means for the world, salvation, eternal life, peace, Oh, you are so wonderful, so good to us, so kind and loving. Help us be that way back to you and to your people and to the world, that they can know your name and find salvation. And thank you for the gifts that come from above. Everything that you give to us to use for your glory. Thank you, Lord. And also the things that you give us in this life that are for our amusement, for our fun, for our joy, that we can celebrate and enjoy this life. Thank you, Lord. Bless us, but help us be a blessing to you, to our church, to our neighborhood, to our families, to this country, to the world. Thank you. Bless us. Teach us to be a blessing. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In preparation for our scripture today, I'd like to talk a little bit about what is a Samaritan. First of all, if you take a look at the corridor between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean, where Jerusalem lies, if you start at the very top, you have Assyria, then you have Galilee, then you have Samaria, and then you have Judea. During the Babylon, when the Jews were taken to Babylon, there were some Jews that were left in the area of Samaria above Judea. And the Assyrian king said, hey, that's good land down there. I'm going to take people from my country and bring them down there. And there were still Jews there, and they intermixed. When the Jews returned from Babylon, they saw that there was an intermixing, and they shunned these people because they were no longer pure Jews. So that's where the hatred became. Even though the Jews were a mix, they had accepted God, and they worshiped God. In fact, because they were shunned by the other Jews, they built their own temple. But then the people from Judea, the Jews from Judea, went up and destroyed that temple. So there was no love lost between the Samaritans and the Jews around Jerusalem. So that's why in our scripture you'll read where the woman says, but I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. We're not supposed to mix. We're supposed to hate each other. But Jesus has compassion for all people. So listen to your own special message in John 4, 1 through 17. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. How can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Well, you can get one of those Sundays where we see if I can talk a little faster. Before you take a look at the story, I'll give you a little fascinating fact. You can go to Israel today and take a journey to Samaria, to the town of Sychar, a place the passage of time seems to really have forgotten, a place not many people live there, only about 300 people live there, and they consider themselves Samaritans. And the primary structure in town is kind of a cellar which houses a well and the only source of water for miles. And archaeologists estimate its date to be upwards of 4,000 years old. Weary travelers have quenched their thirst there since the time of Jacob. But even more fascinating than its archaeological significance is the fact that this place historically validates for us the precise location where the Samaritan woman had an encounter with Christ. It's hard to believe, but the authenticity of this well is undisputed. The Samaritans, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews all agree that this is the place where this story took place. It was noonday. The disciples went into the village, we are told, to buy food. Someone has suggested, kind of offhanded, they were seeking a store where maybe they could get a clergy discount. Well, Jesus stopped by the well on the outskirts for a brief respite from the sun's blistering rays. When a woman of the village walked up to Jesus and said, "Woman, give me a drink of water." First, she was taken back that Jesus even spoke to her for two reasons. First, men did not publicly speak to women. Two, she was a Samaritan, and Jews did not have dealings with Samaritans. They considered them to be unclean, ritualistically, and maybe even personally, also in their hygiene as well. They were considered dogs. Dogs were anyone who was not of the Jewish faith. Thus, Jesus had crossed both a gender and a racial line by speaking to this person, to this woman. And she replied, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of water from me, a woman of Samaria?" And Jesus ignores her question, ignores the racial issue that is here, and gets to the very heart of the matter. He said, "If you had known who was giving you water, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And Jesus, of course, is speaking theologically, but the woman cannot go beyond the literal. "Oh," she snipes, "this is a deep well, and you haven't even got a bucket." The woman appears to be poking some fun at Jesus. "You have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Just how do you suppose to draw this living water of yours? Our father Jacob drank from this well. Do you think that you are better than he is?" You can't miss the sarcasm that is here. Here she is speaking to the master of life about depth when her own life was so miserably shallow. In a sudden change of direction, Jesus startles the woman and asks her, "Go get your husband." With this one question, he has exposed her dark side. We all have a dark side, whatever it might be. You see, by their standard of ethics, this woman was living an immoral life. Of course, we already have a hint of that because she has come to the well by herself at noon. The village women come to the well together in the coolness of the morning. It's too hot to go all that walking distance in the middle of the day to get water. But she doesn't go with them because she is not welcome by the other women. The woman replies, I have no husband. So the first thing she does, she is honest with Jesus. She doesn't try to hide her behavior. She owns up to it, and that is the first step, I think, in finding water for a thirsty soul. We must give an honest confession about our lives and about who we are. And Jesus replies, what you say is true. You do not have a husband. You have had five husbands. And the man that you are now living with is not your husband. Know that Jesus does not shake his finger in her face and give her a lecture on being an evil person. Rather, he brags on her for telling the truth. And I wish that we could somehow get this message across in the church. The purpose of religion is not really to dwell on the bad in people, and that's what we do sometimes, but to enhance, if we can, the good that is in the people, to elevate people and not pull them down. We haven't always done a very good job of that in the church. But oh boy, can the truth hurt sometimes. Even under the most liberal interpretation of the law of Moses, an individual was permitted only three divorces. But this woman had been divorced five times, and in her latest relationship, she hadn't even bothered to go through the pretense of a wedding. It was just a live-in. She went around with other women that were like her because she didn't feel good about herself. And in her mind, if she had gone to the synagogue, which I'm confident she never did, in her mind, she would have probably think that the voice of God would be saying to her what the people were thinking in their minds, because we know how people are. What are you doing here, you slut? Why are you coming into our synagogue to worship God? That's harsh language, but it's an unvarnished truth. That's the way the women saw this woman. Jesus is blunt with her, but he is a little too close to home, and penetrating observation is making her squirm. She attempts cleverly to change the subject. Give you a little bit of wisdom. If you get into a conversation that is uncomfortable, change the subject. Something that will interest your listener. That's what this woman does. She perceives that this man is a rabbi, and what better subject to talk to a preacher about than religion? Sir, she says, I perceive that you are a rabbi. Our fathers worship God on the Mount Gerizim, but your Jews say that the proper place to worship is in Jerusalem. Now, which mountain is right? Which place is right? Let's don't talk about me, Jesus. Let's get caught up in some meaningless discussion on religion that doesn't matter. But Jesus does not play along with her. The time is now when God the Father must be worshipped neither in Jerusalem nor on Mount Gerizim. Because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, the place of worship is not as important as the integrity of the worship. It doesn't matter if we worship in this sanctuary or if we go over to the CE building and have worship over there. It's what we do with the worship that matters. The most important subject is not where our religion is in a building, but if the religion is inside of you. Can you hear Jesus saying that? You want to worship, and that is good. But where you worship on this mountain or that mountain doesn't really matter. The Samaritan woman is obviously taken back by this prophetic insight. Sir, she says, I know that one day the Messiah will come, the one who is called Christ. And he'll tell us all things. He's going to open up things. He's the one we've prayed for and waited for. And Jesus answered, I who speak to you am he. For the first time, the great messianic secret That's something when you look at, it's all through the New Testament. It's Jesus saying, don't tell that I did this. Don't tell that I raised him from the dead. Don't tell that I did this miracle. Don't tell where I am. It's not time yet. But this messianic secret has now been revealed. This is the one of the most dramatic moments in biblical history. Jesus lets his true identity become known. And look at what happens here. Does he reveal his identity to the Sanhedrin or to Jerusalem court? No. Does he make this pronouncement at the temple? No. To other rabbis? No. My friends, this is the moment in that history itself has been waiting for. And Jesus ushers in the glad good news through this Gentile, this dog, this woman, this outcast among outcasts. And why did he choose her? I can't say that for certain. No one knows for certain why he did. The only hint is found in a single verse in the 11th chapter of Matthew. On that occasion, Jesus prayed to God, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things, meaning these truths, from the wise and revealed them instead to babes. Or some interpreters word it, these little ones. At this point, the conversation is cut short by the disciples' return. So they come back into the picture now, and they are stunned to see him talking to this woman and to this Samaritan woman. But we're told that they did not say a thing. That's kind of hard to believe. Peter didn't say anything. Impetuous, mouthy Peter kept his mouth shut. He just stood there, probably mouth hanging open. But Jesus, I'm sure, could see on their faces what they felt and what they thought. Peter had an opinion on everything, but even he is stunned in the silence. Not even the 12 disciples can stop the woman now. She has found what she came to the well to receive. She has found her water, living water. She sees the truth in Jesus' word. She sees him as the anointed one, as the Messiah. This is the second step in finding living water for a thirsty soul, recognizing and accepting Jesus as the Messiah. And watch what the woman does. She abruptly leaves her water jar, runs back to the village, and immediately begins telling everybody, I have met the Messiah. We've been praying about him. We've been waiting for him. I have met him. I just had a conversation with him. And so she stirs up the entire town, and Jesus sees this throng of people coming back to him. Come in. And he says to the disciples, you say that there are 4 months left into the harvest. I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look, and see the fields are white unto harvest. And Jesus is saying to these 12, do not draw boundaries around the kingdom of God. Don't limit its scope. No people, no race, no gender, no sinner is exempt from God's grace and salvation. The time is now, and the people are all around you. This isn't just for the Jews. This is for the Samaritans. This is for the Gentiles. This is for the entire world. And the third step in finding living water for a thirsty soul. When we are filled, our cups with the living water spills out. It should spill out all around us. We cannot contain it. We bring the living water with us wherever we go, everywhere. And the grace we have received changes us. It makes us reach out, empowers people to move beyond their natural habits. It's interesting to note that in her enthusiasm to tell the story, she lost the shame of her sin. She came to the well in solitude. She returns as part of the congregation. She came to the well as one disgraced. She returns as the one graced personally by the Savior. The Samaritan villagers asked Jesus if he will remain with them. Many villages in the Jewish area of Galilee and around never asked Jesus to remain with them. Some wanted him to get away. And he did stay with them for several days. And at the conclusion of this time, the townspeople say to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but because we have now seen firsthand, and now we believe. We've drank of the living water. It is no longer secondhand. It is a firsthand witness. It is the strongest witness in the world. No one can argue against it. It is a witness that says, yes, I know that it is true because I have experienced it in my own life, because it has changed my life. The passage of history have not changed that little village. Not very much. I've been there. At night, there's still the same howling, lonely wind that blows against the blistering sand. The well is still there, too. There's something else that has not changed or vanished with the ages and the time. The living water that has been offered to you to drink is still being offered today. That was offered to her is offered to you, and it will continue to be offered. You just have to accept it and drink from it, and you will never be thirsty again. May God bless you. Amen. Closing prayer 343, be still and know.
Go in the name of the Father, the Son,